Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Your advanced class today, your window on the world, takes you to the country of India as we find out there is hope for women there. And as panelists today, we have some of your favorite teachers. We have...
I'm Nathaniel. Very happy to be here again to continue talking about this important subject.
And I am Catherine, and I'm also excited to be here. This is a topic that I'm really very interested in, so today will be a great day of lessons.
You know, those of us who have so much, a place to stay, and we can go to school, and we have so many things, sometimes we think we're a little bit poor, we don't have much, but compared to these people, we're really rich, aren't we?
Yes. In fact, I read this and I feel very grateful that I was blessed enough to grow up in a family that was, you know, always empowering me to do well.
And even as a girl, they appreciated you, right?
Yeah, exactly. They always said, you can do anything. Right. Make your own choices. And right. I feel very, very lucky for that.
Well, people are people, whether they're boys or girls, and they're all just as important. And so it's nice to know that they're beginning to realize this in some of these countries. But according to the traditions, it hasn't always been that way.
That's right. Yeah, in India, girls there, they really they have to sometimes have to prove their worth to the family. And many times they are not really able to do that, and they are just married off. And they have children at a fairly young age, and they just have to start supporting their children. That's kind of the rest of their life, that's what they're doing.
They've had some things there in India that have been very difficult. In fact, some of the girls that were younger had to marry older people, and then if the man would die, the woman had to die. They would put her on the funeral pyre and have her die with him. Mm. There's a lot of things like that.
Oh,
it's been really terrible.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Where was that?
In India.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoa.
So it's not very good to be a girl over there.
No.
So they're trying to get rid of some of these old practices, these ancient practices. But in countrysides and areas, they still have some of those.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really important to break out of the cycle, like we said yesterday.
Right. So today we're going to talk more about this agency. It's called Landesa. Tell us a little bit about Landesa.
Well, Landesa was actually started back in the 60s, and the original idea was that instead of land being taken away from people that own it, you should buy it from people that own it so that it can also benefit the poor people, give the use of that land to the poor people.
Well, in fact, people that own land, sometimes people had a lot of money, owned a lot of land. But then the people that farmed the land didn't get much money and they couldn't make a living. So people said, everybody should have a little bit of land. So they did a lot of land reform in a lot of countries, didn't they?
Yes, they did. That way, maybe it went to some people who needed it rather than certain people just keeping it all for themselves.
Well, and for the farmers to have an incentive to try to farm their own land, but in order to do that, some countries and some policies, they would take it away from people that had a lot, give it to the others. Well, the people that had it wouldn't be really happy about that.
No.
And so this man, Ms. Prosterman, over here in Seattle, who was taught law at the University of Washington, he had a different idea. And his idea, as you just said, was?
Was to buy land instead of having it just taken away from people that own it and giving it to poor people to use.
Somebody has to buy it. So
right.
He started some kind of a company, and it was called Landesa, and he had to get founding. So Nike makes all these shoes, and they helped found it, other people.
That's right. We learned that it was underwritten by the Nike Foundation, and there was also a private donor. So there were two groups that... I guess, bear the financial burden of
right.
this.
Right. And people like Bill Gates in Seattle, they give away a lot of things to help the poor people all over the world. So some of these people that have made a lot of money realize that they have a responsibility to help the world, and they are helping, which is very good. If you have a lot of money, hey, consider doing that. But the rest of us, we can at least tell you about it.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Open your eyes a little.
Right. So where are we going to start today?
Well, I think we need to start with the fact that this is a pilot project. It's still kind of a test. So the Indian government is deciding whether they're going to actually take it on. And we're going to talk about that issue a little bit here at the beginning of our reading today.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the challenges that they have for this. So let's read that then on page 33.
The challenges. If India decides to go ahead with Landessa's gardening project, it is expected to roll out nationally with the rest of the Girls Empowerment Program next year. Girls are the next generation in terms of land rights, said Gregory Rake, who directs Landessa's work in India. Mamata knows somebody else will ultimately make a decision over her life, but at least now she knows there is a different way. Although child marriage is illegal in India, almost half of girls under age 18 are married. They typically stop going to school and often have children at young ages, which compromises the health of the girls and their babies. Landessa faced opposition to the Girls Project in one predominantly Muslim community, just as it faced resistance in some parts of India to educational programs that discuss women's legal right to inherit land. The nonprofit does not force communities to accept its programs.
We can see here that everybody's not happy with this program, especially people that have land. They say, well, they don't think it's a very good idea. And sometimes people are against this for certain reasons. But India might decide to go ahead with this Landessa's gardening project. They're still thinking about it.
Yes, they are. We see if India decides to go ahead with this project, it is expected to roll out nationally with the rest of the Girls Empowerment Program next year. So there must be some other projects and plans that India is hoping to put in place to help girls around the country, too.
Well, whether they have another one or not, they're still thinking that maybe they'll do this. So if they roll it out, that means
right.
that they will use it.
That's right. It'll be an option for more girls. They'll be able to utilize this resource and kind of get them on the right track.
So if you read something about this or you hear something about it later, you can say, well, now this Landessa project is going all over India. You'll know what they're talking about because you read about it in advance.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens next year. Maybe, Catherine, we can do a little follow-up if we find out.
I would love to. As long as it goes well, I would love to.
Right. I hope it does, too. Well, the girls now are the next generation in term of land's rights. Now most of the girls can't own property. It goes to the husband or to the man. But they're also working on land rights. So since Prosterman himself is a lawyer, I think he's interested in the law in this case.
Right, and wants to give women a chance to have a say in their family's land and usage of that land, yes.
But this Gregory Rake, he works for Landessa. He works in India. And what does he say?
Well, he says that Mamata knows somebody other than her will ultimately make a decision over her life, but at least she knows that there is a different way. There's a different option. If she were able to, she could make a choice for her life.
Right. So later on, somebody will do that. But actually, nobody, I think, is ready to get married when they're a child. There's too many things they don't understand about things. They're just not ready yet.
No, I agree. Especially, I know when I was a teenager, I didn't have the emotional maturity to handle that kind of thing. It would have, I can't imagine.
Physically, you're not even developed enough as you should be.
Yeah. I mean, that is a big part of it, too.
Your hormones, everything. You're not ready for marriage, you know.
That's right. Girls are still growing at that age. So
child marriage is illegal, according to the government. But then a lot of people live out in the countryside. It's a big country, a lot of areas. So the government really is having a hard time controlling that. Weren't you surprised at this statistic here?
Yeah, very surprised. Half of the girls under age 18 in India are married. And that is a very, I mean, we think of 18 as a very young age to be married to begin with.
And half.
Under that, and half of them, that is very surprising.
I've even heard of girls 12 years old being married off, haven't you?
Yeah, I have heard of it happening before. And it's just, it's very, very, very sad.
Right. And then typically, according to their customs, to stop going to school, and they often have children at young ages. So this compromises, or it affects in a very bad way, the health of the girls and their babies. They're not ready to have babies. The babies might not even be well formed yet. They're not quite ready for that in their bodies yet.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just another factor in this whole cycle of poverty that we see in India. If they get started on the wrong foot when they're born, it's hard to break out of this.
Right. Well, there's a couple of pictures here, and they don't show the faces very clearly because, you know, they don't want to be known that way. But what does this one picture here say on the bottom here about this girl who's Sambia Barrow? What about her?
Well, it says that this woman is 45, but he believes that he has little choice but to marry off his daughter, Mamata.
Yeah, there's a picture of him, I guess, right?
Yeah, we can see him there to the side.
Mm-hmm. Why does he say he has to marry her off?
Well, later it also says poor families often have a financial incentive or maybe reason, goal, to wed their daughters early to avoid dowry or offer them as maids so the girls can earn their dowry themselves.
So what is a dowry, actually?
I believe it's what the bride's family gives to a groom as a form of payment, right? So, I mean, I don't know exactly what goes into a dowry, but it's something to give to the groom's family. Yeah.
A long time ago, in fact, when I first came to Asia, when people would get married, they would have carts go through the street with all the dowry, all the things that the families were giving them, whether it was a dresser and all that stuff. They would go through the streets with the dowry and everybody'd see it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And if there was a big dowry, you know, that was great. Mm. You know? And so that was kind of gave everybody face. This family had so much money. Yeah. And in America and other countries in the earlier days, I think they expected more that they would certain things that they would give to the family. No, I don't think they do it as much, do they?
No, I don't think so. And maybe dowry is one of the reasons that having a daughter is seen as a negative thing because, you know, they eventually later know that they have to make that payment.
Right, to get rid of her.
Yeah, I know.
It's really sad, isn't it? Right? Yeah. So they would try to give them earlier. So then if they're younger, they're not worth as much as when they're a little bit older or something. So, or you could go be a maid someplace and earn a little bit of money, and this money will help you buy the things you need when you go to the new family.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty hard to do when you're in your early teens, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
You're not ready for that.
No, definitely not. And I feel like young girls should be able to have a little bit more fun, maybe.
learn to grow up a little bit like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this poor girl that we talked about, Mamata, well, she's actually doing a good job because she's working with this Landessa. She's helping teach. But tell us about her life. It says it's a life on hold. Read that caption.
Mamata Baru waits to learn whether her father will change his mind about marrying her off early. She does nothing, explained her father Sambu, a carpenter who built the two-room house where the family of seven sleeps. It's a daughter, so what can she do? Nothing much. I have to marry her. Working the land is Mamata's only hope, but she is far from certain. Although she despairs about her situation, Mamata said, I can't blame my parents. I'm blaming my fate only.
What does it say under the picture about her?
Well, it says that she was taken out of school at the age of 12 because money was tight. Her family did not have very much money. And she was sent to work as a maid, but she returned home after describing mistreatment.
So as a maid, they didn't even treat her well. Maybe sexually abused her even.
Mm-hmm. There was definitely
she was 12.
I know.
That's sad.
That's so sad, yeah.
And so now she's trying very hard to keep from getting married. Can you imagine? This is something that's very hard for us to imagine, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't even begin to imagine what these girls go through.
But can you imagine having this two-room house and a family of seven sleeping? So if you think your house isn't very big, think about this.
I know. I read that and I was like, wow, that's just, it really puts it into perspective how different.
Hardly room on the floor for seven people to sleep.
I know.
Really is different. So no wonder, you know, that they're trying to give these people hope. So I think it's wonderful that some people care about them, but it's nice to know about these things too. Sometimes there's things going on in the world we know nothing about. It's good to be informed, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We need to know what's going on in the world. Maybe there are some things out there that could use our support even, especially if we have something that we have to offer or give financially or otherwise.
Right. And some people like to go and have schools and help teach them. Some people donate things or take part in these causes. So it's nice to know what they are.
Yeah, it really is. It's good to know where good is going on in the world and how we can help.
So as we go over to the next page, on page 34, they're talking about some of the opposition that Landessa has. Now, I'm pretty sure that everybody doesn't think it's a good idea. After all, why should they worry about girls, you know?
Yeah, and in some countries like this, with some of those ideas that are so set in their, you know, thinking and in their, even sometimes in their tradition, there are going to be people that think that way, yes.
Now, in India, they have different kinds of religions and backgrounds. They have Muslims, and they have Hindus, and they have all different groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big country. And in the predominantly or mostly Muslim community, they faced resistance to this kind of a program. In other parts of India, too, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. It says that they faced resistance in some parts of India to these educational programs that do discuss women's rights.
Right.
And I think what Nathaniel said earlier is that it's not just changing the ways of doing things. They're also having to change how people think, which could almost be harder than changing the process.
Oh, it is hard, right? They're used to it. You know, that's the way they've been brought up.
I mean, yeah, from the day that they were born, they were told that you're supposed to do things this way. And so to be suddenly faced with a new choice, be hard to comprehend, hard to come to terms with.
And I'm sure that some men have a hard time facing this fact that women might have a legal right to inherit the land. Maybe, you know, when the father passes away and the girl's the oldest one or something, usually they couldn't inherit the land.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're trying to make it so that women also can have land. Probably that's very, very few women have had it in the past, right?
Right, and some people would be very opposed to that. Like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It always goes to the men. But if they can help change that type of thinking like we're talking about here, that'd be a big step forward for India, I think.
Mm-hmm. So the nonprofit company is really trying to let people think that way, but there's no way they can force communities. They can say, you have to do it in this community. But they do try to recommend it and show it and do what they can to encourage it.
Yeah, and I think that that is a really important point there, because if you force someone to do something, it's going to backfire on you. Because,
won't work. Yeah.
It's all, people will be resentful that you're making them do something. So
might even treat the women worse instead of better. Who
exactly,
knows?
Yeah, that's a perfect example of backfiring.
So this is kind of an educational thing in a way. But here on page 34, we're going to read a little bit more about some winning solutions. Now, they have these things that are challenges or that are difficult, but there are some things that are very positive about it. So let's talk about that now. Let's read this section about winning solutions on page 34.
Winning solutions. In general, Landessa wins the ear of officials in India and elsewhere who want to give land to destitute families to help alleviate poverty. Governments often ask Landessa for help in identifying landless families, which can be difficult because many are not registered. Landessa also helps to change land laws and to match families with land. In some cases, the land is government controlled. In others, it belongs to landowners who agree to sell it at market rates. And Landessa helps poor people register the land so it cannot be stolen by companies or developers. Many consider Landessa the world's premier nonprofit group advocating for land rights. The group estimates its efforts have led to more than 100 million families having secure rights to land.
So we can't force these solutions, but there are some winning things that can help. What are they?
Well, there's several listed in this section, and one of the first ones that we're going to come to is that Landesa wins the ear of officials in India. And that the ear of officials just basically being the fact that they can communicate with them and that maybe these officials even trust them and will take
their
approval. Right.
So if you have their ear, at least they're listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good expression.
Yeah, it's a great expression, and I think it's really important that these officials are beginning to listen. It signals that they are willing to at least talk about change. So.
Because, you know, the population is growing and mm-hmm. the government tries to do something. It says they want to give land to the destitute families. Now, destitute is even worse than poor.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, destitute just, I think it means the poorest
hopeless.
Of the poor. They have nothing. Yes, it's hopeless.
And so completely, just nothing.
Yeah, and you see that a lot in India with the millions and millions of people living in slums and just not going anywhere. It's awful.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they hope to alleviate poverty. That's a very good word to put in your vocabulary, to alleviate something.
Yeah, if something is alleviated, the pain of it or the problems that are caused by it are taken away or are at least decreased.
Right. Mm-hmm. You'll see that sometimes on medicine that won't take away the pain but will alleviate it, will help it a little bit.
It'll mm-hmm. make it more comfortable, more
right.
bearable maybe.
To alleviate.
Yeah.
So you might want to remember that. I hope you won't be destitute, but remember there are people in the world who are destitute. Mm. And sometimes, you know, we say, oh, I don't have anything, I'm destitute. Well, you're probably not destitute when you read this. You know, destitute means absolutely nothing and no hope for anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a very sad word, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, without money completely, you might have a few possessions and that's really it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the government then, they often ask this Landesa to help so they could find out who these families are. They identify the families because they go in and try to work with families. Now, how come the government doesn't know who they are?
Well, many are not registered. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of people in India, I think, are living on top of each other in slums. So it's impossible to have, you know, a specific count of how many people there are and who needs what.
Right. And if they're not registered, especially if they're poor people, they don't own the land and they don't go in. Some of them are not that educated. They
mm-hmm.
don't know their rights.
That's right.
So they hope to do something about this. What does it tell us up there in the second column that they plan to do?
They also hope that they can help change land laws and match families with land. So allow these families to have some land of their own.
Okay. So in some cases, the land is government controlled. So the government has some land that they can do something with.
Mm-hmm.
And other land, it's not. So what if it's not controlled by the government? It belongs to landowners. And what do they try to do?
Well, the landowners usually agree to sell it at a market rate. So I think what it means here is they sell it at the rate that they bought it instead of selling it more expensively to get a profit. These landowners
right.
aren't selling it to get a profit. They're selling it to help out someone.
So probably that Landesa goes and is the one to make the contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
The farmers, they don't know how to do that, and they wouldn't listen to them. They don't
yeah.
have any money. So yeah. Landesa says, well, we'll buy this land because we want to help mm-hmm. your own people. And they try to talk them into it, I think, don't
mm-hmm.
they?
Mm-hmm.
Convince them.
Yeah, I'm sure that would definitely play a part in the process. Yeah.
Right. And then after that, well, the landowners say they'll sell it. Now, who buys the land? Can those poor people buy it?
No, I believe Landesa probably buys it and then decides who receives it. And then it says in line 5 that they help them register the land so it can't be taken away from them.
Right. If they don't register it, then later on somebody will say, well, no, this isn't your land. We just sold it to somebody else for more money.
Mm-hmm.
So if they register it with the government, mm-hmm. then people cannot take it away from them. So that's important to let the landowners know how to take care of it once they give it to them.
Right. I'm seeing that this is probably a difficult process. You're probably trying to register these families, find these families, and then also register the land that you're going to give them. I imagine this could take a while in each case to get this a little bit of land up
and
going.
Well, maybe with computers now it'd be easier than
maybe,
it was in the
maybe.
Old days, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But in many consider that Landesa is the best one. It's the world's premier, the early nonprofit one that does this. It advocates land rights. It says for advocating for land rights. So they're the first one that started doing this.
That's right. They're the first to advocate. If you advocate for something, you speak in support of it. So they're really one of the best groups who's working in India right now and supporting the situation, bringing light to it, showing ways that you can help.
Because there's a lot of people, there's World Vision, the companies are going around trying to feed people in Africa, and help people. There's groups that help people build homes. There's a lot of groups trying to help people. But this one says, let's get the people to have their own land. So it's another slant on helping people.
And this program of Landesa in India has already helped more than 100 million families secure rights to land. So it really is making a difference there.
100 million is a lot of families, isn't it?
That is. That is a huge, huge stride in this organization. I really, that's amazing.
I mean, that's more than the whole population here of Taiwan or some other areas of the world. I mean, maybe there's 25 million people. 100 million families. Wow, that's a lot.
I know, but if you think about it, that's still a fraction of India.
Right,
so,
because India's pretty big.
But it is a huge step. So,
right. Well, we got one more day that we're going to talk about this. So come back tomorrow when we finish the lesson. Get the magazine, look at the pictures, and we hope that you'll check our Facebook and our website. But be sure and come back for the final day. We'll all be here tomorrow, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Finish this encouraging article.
Yeah.
Okay. See you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.